Welcome, everybody, to episode 217.
It's time for the RV Podcast.
Traveling North America in an RV.
Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle.
And sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right.
Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland
and his network of RV reporters.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode number 217 of the RV Podcast. Hey, you know what? It is no secret that across North America, many towns and cities are becoming increasingly anti-RV, prohibiting overnight camping anywhere except commercial campgrounds. And then often, too often, they charge an arm and a leg for what are frequently pretty dismal campsites. Well, our interview of the week this week tells us how we can avoid such places and find lots of great overnight camping sites, oftentimes for free or very minimal cost. So stay tuned for that interview. Also, this week, your RV questions, some great RV tips, and another excellent off-the-beaten-path report from our friends the Burkitts. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, we are coming to everybody this week from our brand new RV, which we got on Friday of this past week. And it's been great to get it, but man, have we moved fast since then. It came Friday afternoon, right off the assembly line, the Road Trek assembly line in Kitchener, Ontario. They brought it right to our driveway, and we packed it up and immediately left. So it's been nonstop camping. And tell everybody where we are right now. Where are we?
Well, this week we're coming to you from our new RV camped in the Fort Wilderness Campground at Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida.
It's a beautiful, beautiful campground. We got here Sunday night, and I think we learned that there's 840-something sites here.
There are.
It's huge. Most people end up renting $60 a day, a golf cart to get around. Now, there are buses.
No, you told me it was 50.
With taxes, it's 60.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. there are buses, but, you know, you spend so much time waiting for everything else that a lot of people, I'd say most of them have ended up renting one for a while. But that's an expense that we didn't know it was there. Now, you can get on the buses, and they're fine. But
or you could bring your bike, like your e-bike.
Oh, yeah. I wish we had brought our e-bikes. We were 100 miles down the road when I said, we forgot the e-bikes, because we had rushed so fast we wanted to get here.
I didn't forget, because we were 4 o'clock getting out the door, and I figured getting the bikes on and doing all that, we were already late.
4 o'clock getting out the door. Yeah, but then
we had to
drive
the dog off.
We had to drive to our daughter's house, and at the time we hit the road, officially, it was 6:30.
Yeah, it was 6:30. I mean, we just didn't need another hour.
So we drove all the way south to the Kentucky Horse Park near Lexington. That's a long way. Got in at 1:30 in the morning. Had to run the heater. And worked great. We slept well. Got up very early. And then immediately drove all the way down to Albany, Georgia, where we've spent the night in the driveway camping.
At our son's house. Uh-huh.
At our son's house. And we had to run the heat that night, too. And then all the way down here on Sunday to Orlando for our gathering down here. And we ended up having to run the air conditioner here. And it was a lot of fun. So
yeah, so we're attending a gathering organized by our friend Pogo, who loves Disney, and tossed some dates out last spring and found about 50 or so others that agreed that Fort Wilderness would be a great place to gather in early November. I hope he does it next year, too. Do you think he will?
I think so. I mean, there's a lot of happy people here, and I don't think anybody brought any kids. Well, I think somebody brought a grown kid, an adult kid, but no grandkids, no kids, just a bunch of adults playing out there and having a great time. So we are loving this new Road Trek. Many of you know that we are the Road Trek's brand ambassadors, so we have this brand new Road Trek to show off, and it's all white. As they said, it rolled out of the factory Friday, and we took off Friday night, and we have been enjoying it. Now, we have not told everybody that is in this thing, and you know what is in this thing. We haven't told everybody. We're kind of playing that close to the vest for now. It's nothing that you haven't heard of before. We should point out that. There's no great secret things, but it's great. I mean, everything works. But we want to do it all at once. We really want to do it right.
So as soon as we're finished with the Disney World video and we get a little more familiar with all the bells and whistles on this unit, we're going to be doing a complete video reveal and a tour. But let me say that in almost 7 years of doing the RV lifestyle now, in 5 different Class B road treks, this road trek has just really impressed us the most in every way possible. And we've only been in it for a couple days.
Yeah. And so, we're going to show you a complete reveal. We want to make a big deal out of this thing. We want to do outside, underneath, up top, inside, how we store stuff. We have a brand new interior, and we can't tell anybody that. That is brand new. And some of the things on this we've had on, that we tested a couple of years ago on another road trek. And it's kind of neat now to watch how those things that we were sort of prototyping out on the road have matured and are just so really neat and what great features. So anyway, we're looking to do a video. It'll be a couple of weeks because I think the thing we're learning on this trip here to Disney World is if I have to keep producing 4 videos a week, plus a podcast, plus blog posts, there's no time for us to go out and have fun and shoot new videos. So we got to back off on our video schedule.
Yeah, I got you to back down from the Walt Disney Thursday because we don't have any time to enjoy Disney.
I should tell everybody, if you also watch our YouTube channel, our RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube, and we do a weekly live thing. We'll keep doing that on Sunday nights. But I promised everybody that video on Walt Disney World would be ready for Thursday. Well, we're not even finished here until late Wednesday. And there's no way that I can put together a video that does justice to what it's like down here to come as an adult.
And we're wasting time trying to extend our stay another night. That sounds like that'd be an easy thing to do, but it's not.
It is expensive. I'll say that down here. It's when did we find out a full hookup site is over $100 a night?
Well, that's if you're the good campsite.
Yeah,
full hookups.
Well, we're not in the bad campsite.
No, this is very nice. This is for tents.
Yeah, and that's where it's great for like a Class B. You can just take this thing. So this has everything. It has electric and it has water. It just doesn't have sewer hookups on site. And we got a great group rate, but what does this thing go for a night?
Well, we just had to pay $77
for a campsite. Yeah, for a tent.
And
site,
the group
basically.
Rate was a lot cheaper, but you couldn't extend the group rate.
So yeah, so that should tell you that we're having a pretty good time. That we're going to spend one more night here. Everybody else is going home tomorrow, the day this podcast is being released on Wednesday. We're recording this Tuesday, and we should quit talking because we want to finish this podcast and we want to go to Epcot now.
That's right. I'm making you stay another day.
And then we're going to Epcot now, right?
Yes.
And then we're going to the Magic Kingdom for the parade tonight.
Because I want to see the light parade.
And we've been having a ball. So back to the RV, this new RV. We have been asking our various social media followers to help us name it. Now, we have never named one of our road treks before. But this one already it feels very special to us. So we're thinking we may name it, and we've got some great suggestions. People have been offering them up on Twitter and on Facebook and on YouTube. So we will probably come up with a name for this thing, and we will announce that when we do the video. And,
okay, that sounds like a plan.
At the top of the video. So if you've got a suggested name, do us a favor and send it along. Hey, this part of the podcast is brought to you by AllStays Pro, which is the best tool for RVers looking for places to camp. You know, people are always asking where we find these great spots that you see in our videos and our blog. Well, the answer is more times than not, we're using AllStays Pro. And if you use the AllStays app on your phone, you know what a great resource AllStays is for RVers who are seeking places to stay. Well, AllStays Pro takes that to a whole new level. It is browser-based, and that means you access it through your tablet or your laptop, and thus, if you're getting full-size maps that you can look at, and thus much more detail than you would on your smartphone screen. Also, AllStays Pro is updated constantly. I don't know if you know this about apps, but they're usually only updated a few times a year because they have to go through this long approval process with either Google or Apple or whatever store they're sold on. Well, Allstate's Pro, because it is internet-based, browser-based, has more resources, more campgrounds, more boondocking spots, more important RV info like where you can boondock and what Walmarts allow overnights and where the nearest RV dealers is. But all of that information with Allstate's Pro is updated almost daily. Now, to use it, you need to get a subscription, and we will put a link on the show notes for this episode. I'll give you the link here in a second, but you can take 10% off that subscription price of normally 20-something a year, $29.95 a year, I think it is. You get a 10% discount. So if you want that 10% discount, you got to go to this address, roadtrekking.com/allstays10. That's roadtrekking.com/allstays10. Head over there, and you can get yourself a really nice discount, and then you, too, will be able to find just amazing sites using your tablet or your browser as you're heading down the road.
News. Mike's got news.
RV news. Travel news. Inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle.
Here's the RV news of the week.
Well, a very interesting story I saw on YouTube last week dealt with the effect that social media is having on various unique but previously little known locations around the country. And this, I'm going to put a link to this video in the show notes for this episode. You really should see it. The problem is people take pictures of gorgeous places on public land. They often take selfies, right? We all do that. And then they share the picture on social media sites like Instagram or Facebook. And those posts typically are geotagged. That means that there's information embedded in those photos that include its GPS location coordinates. So then what happens is people see, wow, that's a great picture. Then they look up the geotag information and they visit the spot. So the more pictures posted, the more people decide to visit. And the result is some very unique spots around the country are becoming inundated with tourists before the parking lots are made, before trails have been laid out, and before bathrooms installed. And this has caused some significant environmental damage. In fact, there is now a big movement out for photographers not to geotag their photos. So when you take these beautiful landscapes, don't put your geotag in there because people will show up and trample it all down before the site has been prepared or is ready for crowds. It's just a fascinating story. And if you want to look at it, I urge you to go to the show notes for this episode. You'll find them at roadtrekking.com/217.
And speaking of social media, last week in our newsletter, we reported on a couple who were found dead at Yosemite National Park after apparently falling off Task Point, with rangers investigating how they fell. This week, a relative of the couple was widely quoted as saying the couple was taking a selfie. The couple, who were from India, were travel bloggers who posted pictures of themselves in sometimes dangerous situations while taking pictures to post. This is such a sad story. So many beautiful locations in national parks have no guardrails, and all it takes is a slip of the foot or an unexpected breeze to fall and nearly die. One story I found reported a study on literally hundreds of deaths around the world caused by people trying to get the perfect selfie to post online.
You know, I just was going through my pictures, and I found one I took at Bryce Canyon of some guy a couple years ago, right on the edge, taking a selfie. He's squatting down, and I mean, he's like inches from the edge, and it's a sheer drop. That's crazy. So watch it. Hey, many of you live full-time in your RV, right? And you travel the country, and you keep a post office box often in the community where you used to live, maybe in a new community so you can get mail and various other purposes. Well, there was a story that came out this week about a Missouri man who is a full-time RVer, and it caught my eye. The man was denied the right to vote in the midterm elections because he did not have a sticks and bricks house. He only had a U.S. post office. So I'll put a link to that story. Read it. That may affect some of you out there. You want to find out if that could happen to you as well. Again, the show notes always our travel blog site, which is roadtrekking.com, then the slash, and then the number, the episode number of the podcast. And this one is 217. So the address is roadtrekking.com/217.
Jellystone Park Camp Resorts issued a press release last week saying its third quarter sales were up nearly 19% for 2018, credited largely to an increase in millennial campers. Jellystone is the second largest campground franchise network in the U.S., which is known for catering to families with its swimming pools, kids' activities, and regular appearances of Yogi and his friends.
Hey, boo-boo.
Mike and I camped at Jellystone Campground last summer in northern Michigan with four of our grandchildren, our son Jeff and his wife Amy, our daughter Wendy and her husband Dan, and we were there during the week, and it seemed every spot was taken, and most spots were filled with young families. And check the show notes to see a video at roadtrekking.com/217.
Actually, didn't we stay? We stayed twice at
Jellystone.
Once, mm-hmm. Yeah, and we were very impressed. Now, we stayed at many KOAs. We like KOA, and but Jellystone seemed to be much more family-oriented.
It's great for the kids.
Yep. All right, one more story. I came across a fun and I think kind of a thought-provoking story for those of you who have camper vans, Class B vans. This one by a writer who advocates getting a camper van built with no bathroom. In order to open up space, the writer of this article argues, get your van built without a bathroom and simply go outside when you're boondocking and dig a hole, or use the campground's facilities when you're in a campground. Skipping the bathroom means that four could sleep in the camper, they say, instead of the normal two. Check it out. See if that's for you. There's some photo and stories, and we'll put those all in the show notes at roadtrekking.com/217.
Is it a gadget?
A recipe? A tip?
Whatever she has in store for us.
It promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient.
Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
As Mike and I hit the road last week to camp with our friends and fellow road trekkers at Disney's Camp Wilderness Park before meandering over to Florida Panhandle to check on our condo, I knew we'd be doing some grilling. Some time ago, our friend Doug McClendon from Texas shared how to use an onion to clean a grill. We still use this tip. In any case, any of you who haven't heard of it, I thought it would be a good idea to share it again. I think we can all agree that when we're on the road, grilling is a great option. It keeps food odors outdoors, out of our rigs, and it keeps much of the mess of cooking outside our RVs also. Plus, grilled meat soaked in the good marinating all day is an easy way to quickly cook a tasty meal while on the road. But the downside of all this is sometimes those barbecue grills are just, well, nasty. So what do? You could scrub it with something like a Brillo pad, but I really try to eat natural and healthy and avoid all those chemicals if I can at all. And so that's why I like to use an onion. Onions are a great cleaner, providing a wonderful, non-toxic, and inexpensive way to eliminate all the grime. Here's how it works. First, get the heat on your grill very hot to burn off as much of that gunk as possible. Then slice an onion in half, poke it with one of those extra long grilling forks, and rub it back and forth over the grill like a scrub brush. If you have any stubborn spots, spray it with a little lemon juice or vinegar for a natural acidic boost. Then get that onion out and scrub a little bit more. If you're using charcoal, when you're done, just throw the onion on top of the charcoal to add a little more flavor. Obviously, I wouldn't recommend that for a gas grill. And that's it. It's just that easy. I went to the National Onion Association webpage.
Wait a minute. There's a National Onion Association?
Onions are a great thing, kind of like garlic, onions. There's a whole bunch of vinegar. There's a lot of natural cleaners out there.
Okay.
To learn a little more about why this method works. and was fascinated to read about the antibacterial properties onions hold and the many studies that show that onions contain compounds found to fight cancer, reduce heart disease, and even help reduce osteoporosis. I'll put a link to the National Onion Association on the show notes. And thank you, Doug, for sharing your grilling tip with us some time ago. As you can see, we're still using it, and I hope this tip will be helpful for you, too. And be sure to send me your tips and suggestions for the RV lifestyle. You can use the leave voicemail link at roadtrekking.com. Just click it, and then use the built-in microphone on your computer or mobile device to record a message to me. You can do it over as many times as you want, until you're satisfied, and then you just click a button, and it comes right to my email inbox, and I love hearing from you.
Jennifer's Tip of the Week is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes, now with free shipping, direct-to-consumer pricing, and a special discount to listeners of the RV podcast. Jennifer and I have had since the first of this year two Rad Power bikes. We both have the city bike model. Mine is the traditional guy's configuration with the center bar that you swing your leg over. Jennifer got the new step-through model. No center bar, you just easily step through it. Many people are using that, men and women alike, because it's so easy to get in and off that bike. Rad Power Bikes sells directly to consumers. Now, what is so neat about that is you get a premium electric bike, but you don't have to pay the huge markups caused by dealers or third-party retailers. In fact, many Rad Power Bikes are sold for less than half that of comparable bikes on the market because that third-party chain's cut off. All the different bike models that Rad Power sells have the highest possible motor, most powerful motor an e-bike can have, 750 watts. You can ride it anywhere you can ride a bike. It's street legal. You don't need a special license for it. All their models can reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. All their models give riders the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle. You can just do all the pedaling yourself or use five different levels of pedal assist. I wish we had brought them here to the campground here at Fort Wilderness in Walt Disney World because it's such a big campground. And to go any place, you know, to get on the transportation hubs or go down to the beach and take the transportation, you really need, like, an e-bike. And I've seen a number of people with e-bikes. We just didn't have time to pack ours this time. All right, so listen, go check them out. RadPowerBikes.com is their website. And if you look on our show notes, you can see the units, the ones that Jen and I have. We have a video up of ours. It's right in the show notes of this episode, roadtrekking.com/217. Just scroll it down to where you see us talking about Rad Power Bikes, and you'll see that video of ours. But remember this, that if you do buy from Rad Power Bikes, besides free shipping, if you use the promo code roadtrekking at checkout, they'll give you an additional $75 off. Visit radpowerbikes.com.
Questions?
You've got them.
Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers.
Here's one of our questions of the week.
Hello, Mike. This is Larry McKim, and my wife and I met you and Jennifer down at the B Plus show down in Phoenix last spring. And just let you know that we're still waiting on our rig, and they're saying between January and February, and we're going to get to 2019. At the 2017 contract price. So I just wondering if you got the 2019 chassis. You mentioned all the bells and whistles, and I know that's going to be happening with that rig. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Well, congratulations, Larry, that you got a great price on it, and you just have to wait. But no, we did not get the 2019 chassis. I have an interview next week. We'll talk a little bit about it for those of you who are interested in the Sprinter 19s. There's some pretty nice changes. But here's the deal. Amazon bought so many of them, 20,000, that's where Mercedes-Benz sent all the first batch of 2019 chassis. They, as far as we know now, not any RV manufacturer has a 2019 chassis to sell. Now, I think many of them are taking orders on it, like with you, Larry, but they do not have them to sell. They're not available yet. They have not been released. We're hearing sometime in the first quarter, preferably early, and so we're only a couple months away from that, but there's no guarantee. There is a brand new plant in near Charleston, South Carolina, that Mercedes built to produce the Sprinter in the U.S. because of the tremendous demand, many of it from RV manufacturers and many others from companies that do delivery vans and service trucks for appliance companies and plumbers and stuff like that. It's just a great van. But the 2019 chassis are not yet available. You can probably order them, but they're not available. And we'll talk next week about, we talked to Mike Niederquell from Advanced RV, and Mike was invited to the Sprinter factory in South Carolina, looked at them. I think he drove one, and Mike told us some of the features that it will have in 2019. But the one we have is a 2018 chassis. It's a 2019 model Road Trek CS Adventurous XL, but it's on the 2018 Sprinter chassis. And the 2019s, you know, I don't know. They're not going to start showing up, I don't think, until spring at the earliest. But that's my prediction. No one is quite sure at this point. Okay, a couple of email questions that have been piling up that I want to get to. This is a question from Ronnie and Milt. Question regarding a Road Trek. Can you get them with leveling jacks or only stabilizers or nothing? Well, the answer is nothing. Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. You don't have any of them, but you don't really need one. You know, we're backed into a spot and we're pretty level here, right?
This is perfect.
And when we don't have the right, you know, if there's a little pitch to it, we just put those little leveling blocks. We have a little box, a little canvas case of those. They're like little Legos.
We put those. You were going to say, you tell me, just get used to it.
I wouldn't do that. Yeah, but you don't need them. You don't need, I think the only one I don't know if any Class Bs that make them stock or are part of it. You don't need to drop down jacks like you do on great big long fifth wheels or Class Cs or any of the other RVs. Class Bs, you just kind of back into a spot, and if it's not level, you put a Lego building block and those little levelers underneath your wheel, and you're good to go. All right, another question. Hello, and thanks for signing us up to the newsletter. This comes from somebody who just signed up to our newsletter.
Well, and, welcome.
And you know, if you're not a subscriber to our newsletter, I should give you a quick pitch for it. The reason you want to, for one thing, we send out kind of an insider's new look at what's happening in the RV world every Monday morning. And it's jam-packed with news and links and resources. It's absolutely free. And then when you are a member of our community and join our newsletter, you also are entitled to a whole bunch of special perks and discounts on RV services and different things. So the way that you subscribe is just go to roadtrekking.com/newsletter. All one word, roadtrekking.com/newsletter. So anyway, this reader just subscribed to the newsletter. Thanks, and he subscribed. We sent him a welcome to the newsletter message, and he's thanking us for that. And here's the question. He says, just had an 80-watt solar panel added to my unit, and winter is about to set in. Will the solar panel maintain my batteries over the winter? And the answer to that is no, they will not. Not an 80-watt panel. We have a rooftop full of panels producing several hundred watts of power, and that isn't enough. There's always a slight draw to your batteries. If you leave them stored for 3 months or so in the cold, they are going to drain down, and you're going to want to start your engine, run them, top them off, do all that stuff. But the solar panel is meant to supplement all that. It is not meant to keep your batteries. And if anybody told you that, they were just telling you that to sell you a solar panel. It's like you have one solar panel, and that's not enough to keep it all topped off. So hope that answers your question. You need a whole bunch more solar than even I have on ours, and we have as much as you can possibly put on a Class B. So, and that's not enough either. You really do need to put like a battery tender on it, a slow charger, or use it. We use our RV, and we live in Michigan, and we don't spend a lot of time there in the winter, but when we are in cold, we use it all the time. Cold weather, warm weather, we're always driving it, and that's the best way to keep your engines or your batteries in great shape. So give that a try. All right, hey, we'd love to get your questions, and we'd love to hear your voice. Here's how to say it.
Want to be part of the podcast?
Ask a question, leave a comment, click the leave voicemail button on the right side of the RVpodcast.com blog.
We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
All right, we're going to talk now about which is becoming a favorite topic of mine, and that is free RV parking. Too many places charge an incredible amount of money just to have you park for the night in your RV. You know, you're paying what you could have gotten a pretty nice hotel room for just a couple of years ago. Many of these campgrounds have gone on and working through their association, have gone into little communities and introduced draft legislation that the city council people just kind of rubber stamp, that requires everybody to, if you're going to overnight in that town, has to be in a campground. And that's just crazy. Especially when you're in a like a Class B, which is so self-contained, takes up no room, you shouldn't have to pay $40, $50, $60 a night just because you need a place to stay for a few hours. Well, there are lots of options. There are places that have free camping all around. And one of the best sites that we have ever found is Overnight RV Parking. And in fact, if you sign up that site through through our link, you'll get actually 15 months for the price of 12. But more important than that, we wanted to bring on Jim O'Brien from Overnight RV Parking to talk about this problem about communities that are anti-RV and where RVers can find Overnight RV Parking. So let's bring on our special guest, Jim O'Brien from OvernightRVParking.com.
But joining us right now from Overnight RV Parking is our friend Jim O'Brien, and he connects with us from his home in Gilroy, California. Jim, how are you?
Fine.
Glad to have you on. Let's talk about overnight parking, and it's kind of like a scandal in a sense on how many towns have been pressured by the campground industry, among other factors, into making it very difficult to find those free overnight spots. Tell me what you're seeing around the country.
Well, we've had overnightrvparking.com website online for more than 10 years now. And during that time, we've seen reports, online news reports and reports from RVers of more and more towns that are making it illegal to sleep in an RV inside their city limits unless you're in a licensed RV park or trailer park or a licensed campground. I don't have any statistics as to how many towns have done this, but I know the number is increasing.
Now, there's a number of reasons why. I know one of the factors that has been relatively new is the large number of homeless people who are living in their vehicles. And that has kind of confounded, I know, law enforcement in some communities. But there's another reason, and that kind of goes back to just basic greed. And talk about that. I mean, the pressure that is put on some of these places.
Well, in a lot of cases, the local law has been proposed by local RV park owners, basically in an attempt to legislate RVers into being their customers. In fact, the Association of RV Parks and Campgrounds, the ARVC, which is a nationwide trade organization for RV parks and campgrounds, offers its member campgrounds what they call model legislation. These are pre-written laws that the campground owner can take to the local city council or board of supervisors, to whoever the local governing body is, and try and get it passed. 10 years ago, anyone who went to the ARVC website could see these, but once the word got out that RVers were looking at it and spreading the word that they were doing is that that part of their website became available to their paid members only.
So the bottom line is that they would pressure the city fathers and the city mothers, I guess, as well, and get them to enact an ordinance that would make them, essentially, if you're an RV and you want to spend the night, have to spend $20, $30, $40, $50 a night to overnight. However,
even more than that, Mike, I haven't seen any statistics now since 2011, but in the spring of 2011, the average cost of a full hookup site in the USA was $40.93 a night, and that was almost 8 years ago.
Holy mackerel. Yeah. We do most of our camping boondocking or staying in places that are free or very close to free. And that's, of course, why I'm so delighted to have you with us and to talk about how many places there really are out there for people to overnight for free. For example, on overnightrvparking.com, how many sites do you have currently in your database?
Our database currently includes, I think, 13,800 and some locations. But we those aren't all free places to stay overnight. We include places where you might think you could, such as a Walmart parking lot in a town where it's illegal and the Walmart doesn't allow it, and we show those as a no parking, so you know not to park there. But the majority of our places are free. We also list places that are $20 a night or less, and this includes a lot of small city and county parks.
You know, that's one of the things that I have always appreciated about your site. We did a trip early this summer from, and we took pretty much Highway 2 across to Montana in the northern route, and I found all these delightful little campgrounds, you know, these little city and county campgrounds that I never would have found at any of the other apps, and you had them on your site. There's a lot of really nice municipal campgrounds.
There really are, and a lot of those are in the basically up and down, if you paint a broad stripe up and down in the middle of the United States from Wisconsin and Illinois and Michigan over to Montana, and then all the way south from there to the Gulf or to the Mexican border, a lot of cities and towns in those states have campgrounds, and the history of those goes back to the Great Depression of the 1930s. People were traveling as best they could to try and find work, and cities and towns did what they could to provide a free or inexpensive place for them to spend the night because they knew nobody had any money. It was the Depression, after all. And a lot of those campgrounds are still in existence.
Now, there's also plenty of places like our favorite, which is Cracker Barrel. But I was looking on your site and some Menards. I didn't know Menards sometimes allowed free parking.
Yeah, we found a few Menards that do. For those who aren't in the area where Menards has stores, they're a home improvement chain not unlike Home Depot and Lowe's, and most of their stores are in the Midwest.
Yep, just found one on your list that I'm going to try on my way down to Florida. We know the big boxes, sometimes Home Depot. Why don't you tick off some of them? You know, some of the big box stores that allow RVs. We know Walmart, we know Cracker Barrel, but there's others as well.
Yes, some Home Depots will allow it, some won't. Same with Lowe's. A very few Target stores allow it, but most of them don't. Also, they're not really considered big box stores, I guess, in the same sense because they're specialized, but Bass Pro Shop and Cabela's, the big sporting good, well, it used to be sporting good chains, but Bass Pro Shop has purchased Cabela's, so they're owned by the same company now. Most of their stores allow it unless they're in a mall where the mall rules don't allow it.
Yeah, I have to say, I want to thank you again for your site. Our favorite stop as we head west every year is a Mitchell, South Dakota at a Cabela's there.
Right.
And, I found that on your site some years ago, and we stay there going and coming back, and it's great. Of course, casinos, many casinos have it. Talk about how people would use overnight RV parking. Now, let's just say we're on a route and I'm going to pick a route, say I-70 or I-65. Let's take that goes down, you know, through Louisville and then down through Nashville. I know where I'm going to go. I know I want to drive 300 miles or so today. How would I use your site?
Well, with the Overnight RV Parking website, when you log into our website or log into it through our app, we have iPhone and Android apps that our subscribers can use to make it easier to use our search feature on small screens like phones. You log into the website and either drag the map that comes up or put in a search term. Let's say if you're going to be around Louisville, Kentucky on a given night. You put in Louisville and select Louisville, Kentucky, and the map will pop up with a whole bunch of color-coded pointers. The bright green ones are places that, according to the latest information we have, you can park overnight for free. The bright red ones are places where you can't, even though you might expect you could. Those are the principal colors you'll see. Occasionally we have a yellow one where it's officially not allowed or technically not allowed, but the word we have is that it's generally not enforced. So you'll probably be okay, but it's at your own risk of getting kicked out in the middle of the night. We have a couple of other colors. We have purple ones, and we can maybe talk about this in a little bit. These are membership organizations that have RV parking for their members, with or without hookups, including the Elks, the Moose, Eagles Lodges, and so on. And we have a dark green category, which isn't free. Those are the $20 or less places. And we have a gray category, which means we know that this place exists. None of our subscribers have reported to us about it, so we don't know their policy, and we haven't had time to contact them yet.
Yeah, I happen to have that map up. I just opened it up, and I put Louisville in, and it's pretty neat. I mean, I'm finding Cracker Barrels, of course, and then I see an Elks Lodge. I'm coming right down a Camping World that's in there, and many of them all around, lots of Cracker Barrels, Walmarts. They're all listed with a little pin, and then when you click that pin, you get to find out all this detail about it, and it tells you from what part. Many of the people report what part of the lot you can park in, and they gives you directions as well. So it's a great resource. Now,
we try to make that information as complete as possible and include a lot of detail that you can't get anywhere else. The other thing is that if you switch that map from just a map view to satellite view and zoom in on one of those pointers, for example, if you zoom in on one of the Walmarts, that pointer is in the part of the lot where the store wants you to park, according to our best information.
That's a great service. I'm playing around with it right now, and you also even have the GPS coordinates. You've got a special deal for the people who listen to this podcast. I know it's normally $24.95 a year, which is a great bargain if you are looking for places to overnight, which many of us are, and don't want to get stuck with that $40 a night price that so many people charge. But what's the, if they order through and mention us, and we have a special link they can try, it's roadtrekking.com/overnight. What special deal do you have for people who listen to the podcast and follow?
Yeah, this is something that you arranged with us a couple of years ago for your readers and your subscribers, is that if they click that link to subscribe on their first year, they'll get 15 months instead of 12 for their $24.95. So it's 3 months free.
That's good. That's a great
thing. Other thing I want to mention is that when our subscribers then report back to us using the forms on our website and tell us, you know, give us an update on yes, I was at this Walmart and they now allow parking, or yes, I was at this Home Depot, they still allow parking, but they want us in a different part of the lot, that type of thing. We add free weeks to their subscription in exchange for those reports. So it's possible to subscribe once, and if you submit enough reports, you turn it yourself into a free lifetime subscription from that point on.
But what I like about it is that it's updated so often, and you can see when people were in there, and oftentimes it's just, you know, not even that farther away from you. and you've got lots of information. It's a great site, and we are very careful about the sites that we recommend, and especially, you know, there's so many things on there for RVers, but this is a must have. It's my personal campaign to just really come back and talk about how important it is for people to take control of where they spend the night. You don't have to get stuck spending that $40 a night. That's so expensive.
I agree 100%. The first long trip that we took after launching the website ourselves was from California to Iowa and back, and we were out 23 or 24 nights on that trip. And we stayed in some Elks Lodges, and we stayed in some state parks that weren't free. But our average cost per night on that trip was $9.16.
Wow. Well, it's a great price. And Jim, I want to thank you so much for coming on the program and helping us all understand all of that. And we will continue to recommend overnight RV parking. And if people want to check out your site, they can get 15 months for the price of 12 by just going to roadtrekking.com/overnight. Jim O'Brien, a pleasure to have you on the program, and we'll see you down the road.
My pleasure to be with you this morning, Mike. Thank you for the opportunity to tell more folks about what we do.
All right, there you go. Overnight RV parking. And again, if you go to roadtrekking.com/overnight, you can save yourself, pick up some extra months as part of the deal. It's a good deal. You'll like that site. Hey, the interview of the week is brought to you by SunshineStateRVs.com, where every new motorhome that they sell can be delivered to your driveway free anywhere in the contiguous 48. Sunshine State RVs, Gainesville, Florida is where they're located, but the internet makes them anywhere in North America, and they have the largest selection of used Class B motorhomes anywhere in North America. Nobody has more than they do. So whatever kind of a Class B you're looking for, they probably have a late model or a used one. They've got all of the major brands, Road Trek, Pleasureway, Winnebago, Leisure Travel, and more. Used RVs from the 90s right on up until this past year. You will not find a wider selection anywhere else. Now, they also sell new Class Bs. They have brand new in stock on their lot Road Treks. They have new Coachman Gallerias. They have some Hymers. You need to check out SunshineStateRVs.com. You will not find a wider selection. Every RV they sell goes through a very thorough 172-point inspection in which they ensure that all of the mechanical and manual systems are in top condition. Every RV is road tested to make sure it runs and drives the way it should. They go over the interior components just as they do the outside. Everything entirely checked out, every component turned on. They make sure it's working. You need to check them out. SunshineStateRVs.com. Tell Nick and the crew there that you heard about them on the RV podcast.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV tech tip of the week.
All right, checking in with us now, as he does every week at this time on the podcast, Andy Choi from Verizon Wireless.
Hi, Mike. Did you know nearly 60% of people categorize themselves as prepared shoppers, gearing up for the holiday season more than 40 days in advance? I know it seems a little early, but Halloween is behind us now, so let's tech the halls with ideas from Verizon to upgrade your holiday happenings in the kitchen. First, check out the Google Home Hub with Voice Assistant to start making your time in the kitchen a little easier. Say, hey Google, let's make chocolate chip cookies for step-by-step baking instructions. Hands covered in cookie dough, no problem. Simply ask your Google Assistant for a little help to set a timer or multiple concurrent timers without having to touch a thing. You can also ask for conversions like, hey Google, how many teaspoons are in a tablespoon? Not a bad sous chef. What if you're out of recipe staples like flour and chocolate chips? Just go ahead and say exactly that to make an order for to-the-door delivery. With Google Express, you can order delivery for household essentials from your favorite stores. Tell your assistant, okay, Google, buy me some flour and chocolate chips. You can also count on the Samsung Galaxy Tab S4 for a great visual display in the kitchen. If the kiddos get bored after licking the cookie dough spoon, they can try out the tablet's S Pen. Pick from a selection of pen and brush types, and they can create your next holiday work of art to share with grandma and grandpa. So whether it's for a culinary expert on your shopping list or a little upgrade to your own kitchen, know that there are plenty of tech-inspired gifts to make the holidays a little sweeter. With this week's Traveling Technology Tip, I'm Andy Choi with Verizon.
All right, this part of the podcast is brought to you by Verizon, which operates America's most reliable wireless network. In fact, this podcast will have been uploaded to our servers via the Verizon wireless network. We use it exclusively when we are on the road. I'm always connected, and I need to be. You know, that's my job, you know, between doing our videos. Do you know how intensive it is to upload a video? I mean, they're huge files. I do it with ease with my Verizon LTE data card. I have the Jetpack that I use for all of my devices. When Verizon says better matters, they mean it. They are ranked highest in leading network studies and multiple tests for things like network quality performance and user satisfaction year after year. Can your network say that? If you are stuck on the wrong network, get over to Verizon and get yourself unstuck.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook.
Here's Mike.
All right, and we've got another report from the Burkitts, who take us out east in this Off the Beaten Path report. Tom and Patty Burkett.
Hey, Jennifer and Mike. Do you remember that scene when Maria runs across the mountain meadow singing, "The hills are alive"? I never knew The Sound of Music was based on a true story. When the Von Trapps left Austria in 1939, they were assisted by their family priest, who helped them organize a singing tour, first in the U.S., then in Scandinavia. After a second return to the States in 1940, they settled in the mountains of northern Vermont, which Maria said was as close to our home in Austria as anywhere we've seen.
Outside of Stowe, one of Vermont's big ski centers, you'll begin seeing signs for the Trapp Family Lodge. Drive out into the country, up and up and up, and you'll find it, perched on top of a mountain with stunning views toward the distant peaks. It does look a bit like a mountain chalet. As the story goes, the Trapps made many friends on their musical tours and entertained many of them here on the mountain. In time, the family expanded the lodge and opened it as a guest house. Since then, it's grown into a hotel and, on the surrounding acreage, guest bungalows and timeshare condos, all very tasteful.
Just down the hill is the new Trapp Beer Garden and Brewery, where they probably brew Trappist Ale. The lodge dining room has an amazing view and serves lunch and dinner. One of the bellmen told us that Georg and Maria's youngest son, Johannes, in his 80s, still lives here and comes to the lodge every morning for breakfast and to get the daily papers. He also told us we could only park in the front lot during the day, but could use the side lot overnight. We weren't quick enough on our feet to ask if that meant we could camp there, but that may be so.
Stowe is an upscale, artsy ski and sport town with lots of little restaurants, galleries, and outdoor stores. Within an hour's drive are a number of Vermont cheese dairies, including Cabot's, and one we really liked, the Sage Farm Goat Dairy. Ben and Jerry's headquarters is 20 minutes down the road, and the Cold Hollow Cider Mill is a Harvest Host overnight stop and serves the best maple creamies we've had in the state.
Aside from Interstate 89, which is one of the most beautiful freeways we've ever driven, the roads in Vermont are small and rural and wind their way through family farm country liberally studded with fruit and vegetable stands, historic markers, and hardworking small towns. Rivers abound, and there are many state and private campgrounds. We came across few boondocking sites, but if you belong to Harvest Hosts, there are more options. This is country for taking it easy and seeing what's around the next bend in the road. Do that, and you might come across us, Patty and Tom Burkett, out here off the beaten path.
Well, Off the Beaten Path is brought to you by Harvest Hosts, which is a membership site that provides truly unique, overnight stops at wineries, farms, and attractions. Now, if you have had it with having to spend from $30 to $50 to overnight at a crowded campground, or if you're tired of being awakened by all the noise and lights at a Walmart, Harvest Hosts offers overnight stops that are truly unique in all sorts of out-of-the-way places, like wineries across all the country, all over the country, like farms of all types, from lavender farms to maple sugar farms to fruit orchards and vegetable fair. You need to be self-contained, and you must call ahead so they know you're coming and arrange during business hours, but your stay is absolutely free. Thought it'd be polite, you know, it's expected that you buy a bottle of wine or some fruit. Harvest Hosts costs $49 a year to belong. But because you are a listener of the RV podcast, we've got a pretty good deal for you. You can take 10% off that cost by going to roadtrekking.com/harvesthosts. Again, that is roadtrekking.com/harvesthosts.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
All right, I got three big RV shows for you to check out, different parts of the country, all of them November 8th through the 11th. Let's start up in the Pacific Northwest at the Portland Metro Dealers RV Show. It's held at the Expo Center in Portland, Oregon. On November 8th to 11th, down south in Florida, it is the Tampa Bay Fall RV Show, held at the Florida State Fairgrounds in Tampa, Florida. Also November 8th through 11th, also in Florida, the West Palm Beach Fall RV Show at the South Florida Fairgrounds in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle.
This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Somewhere off the beaten path.
All right, so it's another episode of the RV Podcast. I want to thank you guys for listening. Please share it with somebody that you know likes the RV lifestyle. And remember, if you'd like to have your voice heard and be a part of the podcast, do record that voicemail message on the right-hand button on the roadtrekking.com website. You can do it over and over as many times as you want, and then just click a button, and it'll come right to Jennifer and me. Please subscribe to the podcast. We're on all of the major podcast players, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, all of them. New episodes released every Wednesday. Don't forget to join that mailing list, roadtrekking.com/newsletter. We send out a special newsletter every week to subscribers, and you also get lots of perks and special discounts. Don't also forget our YouTube channel, RVLifestyleChannel.com, loaded with helpful videos, always added new ones every week, all about the RV lifestyle. Hey, thank you guys for listening. We'll see you down the road. Until then, on behalf of my wife, Jennifer, and our dog, Bo, I'm Mike Wendland. Happy trails, everybody.